All right. Hello, everyone, and very happy Sunday. It's good to see you all. As Ken mentioned, we are here for the 7 Steps to Awakening. And tonight, I will be starting with quote 795. Last week, we looked at my journal, 795A. So this week, we will look at 795B. What I would like to do first is play a song. So the song that I have selected is Eva Cassidy, and it's called You Take My Breath Away.
Sometimes it amazes me how strong the power of love can be. Sometimes you just take my breath away. You watch my love grow like a child. Sometimes gentle and sometimes wild. Sometimes you just take my breath away. And it's too good to slip by, too good to lose, too good to be there just to you. I'm gonna stand up on a mountain top and tell the news that you take my be there just to you.
lovely song. So I think I had commented last week that I would let you all know how I'm doing with my new increased commitment. I changed my calendar so that I have 2 hours for meditation every day. And in fact, it's really 2.5 hours because preceding the 2 hours of meditation is 3 hours of reading in order to prepare me for the meditation and to open the heart and get me in the right frame of mind for meditation. So it's really 2.5 hours a day. And I've been following that. What I found is on Sunday morning with church starting at 8:15 my time, I was only able to do 1 hour today on Sunday morning. But I have been able to follow that schedule. And also, I took a 3-day personal retreat on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. That personal retreat was right here in my house, but there was no email, no Facebook, no cell phone, no texting, no television, no distractions at all. The only thing that I did other than spiritual focus was shower, prepare my meals and eat and do the dishes, and walk Jamie. That's it. Other than that, the entire time from 5 in the morning till 9 at night, I spent in spiritual focus, which included meditation, contemplation, reading, listening to music, spiritual music, and that's it. That's it, right? And I did go ahead and write tips because that counts as contemplation. So I wrote gentle healing tips. What I found is by the third day, I felt like I was really getting in a groove, you know. And maybe if you've been on like a silent retreat before, you may find that often it's the third day where you really start to get into the groove of the silent retreat. And I found the exact same thing with my personal retreat here at home. It was nobody but me and Jamie. I had no contact with any other people. And so what I realized, I had scheduled 2-day retreats throughout the year, but I realized, you know, and I'm going to do those 2-day retreats, but I realized that occasionally I need more than 2 days when I felt what the third day felt like. So right now I'm in the progress of looking at my calendar in order to schedule 4-5-day personal retreats right here at home. So I am really doing everything I can to make sure that my time is just as absolutely efficient as possible so that I can spend the maximum amount of time possible in spiritual practice. And in fact, I'm finding that this is really coming from the heart. Like there's nothing I want to do more than this. You know, and one thing I noticed when I was on the 3-day retreat here was there were no temptations at all to cheat. Zero. I just had no desire to try and text somebody or check Facebook or check email, do some work. I mean, just zero. So it feels like I'm really, really ready to do this now, and I'm really excited to do it. And in fact, there isn't anything I want to do more. So my next retreat, however, won't come until mid-January because Jasmine comes home next Friday, and she'll be home for a whole month. And so, you know, when she's home from college, of course, she expects mommy to pay attention to her. So my next retreat will be 2 days in January, mid-January. But that's the progress report. But I will, even while Jasmine is here, get the 2.5 hours a day because, you know, she doesn't get up at 5 a.m. So having her here is not going to affect the 2.5 hours a day. All right. So with that said, let's get on to our business, which is the 7 steps to awakening. And let me read quote 795 to you, which again is very interesting considering all I just said. 795 says, all will happen as you want it, provided you really want it. All will happen as you want it, provided you really want it. And I think that one way we can tell if we really want something or not is how we're spending our time. I'll be absolutely honest with you because I have no reason not to be. The desire to take personal retreats started arising in me in 2015. So somewhere between 2.5 and 3 years ago. And what my mind kept saying was that I can't because I have all this other stuff to do. And at the same time, my time was not, I mean, if we're going to be honest here, my time was not used as efficiently as it could be. There were wasted hours in every week. And so even though this desire arose 2.5 to 3 years ago, I am really just now to the point where I must really want it. Because now I have made my time so efficient that there is literally no wasted time. And as a result, I'm able to work these retreats into my schedule. And I think that's the difference between wanting something and really wanting it. You know, I started wanting them 2.5 to 3 years ago, and now I'm making them happen. Let's see, I think that's not all there, Kathy. I'll wait until you finish the rest of it. It says, don't get down on your knees to the, we're waiting for the following, to the mind. Okay, I was thinking the devil, maybe. Don't get down on your knees to the mind. Yeah. So again, the quote we're looking at, all will happen as you want it, provided you really want it. And that's the key word, right? Really, really want it. So let's go ahead and look at my journal. Again, I am starting with 795B because last week I already shared 795A. I will go back and read 795A briefly as a review. I'm also putting a link in the room for anybody who likes to read along in the journal. So let me just go back and quickly read 795A. This may sound familiar from last week. I can trust this world because it is an illusion. The world is not real like it appears to be. The world is a temporary and changing appearance brought about through the power of desire. This is why I can trust the world. As I fine-tune my desire, ensuring that the power of desire is behind only the purpose to awaken, the world and the mysterious force that is behind it responds by answering the call of my one true desire. So that was last week's journal entry. Here is 795B. By the way, this was written on September 29th, 2015. How do I fine-tune desire to ensure the power of desire is behind only the purpose to awaken? For me, time spent in contemplation is powerful. Time spent in contemplation aligns desire fully with the calling of the heart. Writing as I contemplate is also helpful. Writing focuses attention so it does not drift away from the heart and its current contemplation. I also find it extremely helpful to review the most recent written contemplation throughout the day. In summary, I find it helpful to read only a little, contemplate deeply that which is read, review repeatedly. This helps to keep me focused on one true desire. So this is, again, this journal entry is me looking at me. And As you know, Michael Langford says that we should do, whatever we can to increase our desire for liberation. And so what I'm looking at in this journal entry is what do I know increases that desire for me? And I know that contemplation does that. And in fact, that's why prior to my 2 hours of meditation every day, there's that 30 minutes of reading. It's really contemplative reading in order to prepare the heart space for the meditation. If I went directly into meditation, it would probably be more from the head. But if I take that 30 minutes of contemplating reading first, then the heart opens and I go into meditation from the heart. And if any of y'all are familiar with Michael Langford's teachings, then you might know that he says 1 hour of meditation from the heart is worth 1,000 hours of meditation from the mind, from the head. So it's really worth it to me to take that 30 minutes prior to meditation, just be in contemplative reading in order to open the heart. And so that's what I'm doing in this journal entry. I'm recognizing, what can I do to keep my own inner fire, my own desire for liberation burning? And the answer to myself is contemplate. You know, don't let contemplation fall to the side, because that is very important for me to keep that desire burning. To me, that's a pretty simple journal entry, so I'm going to move right on to 795C. Again, the quote we're looking at says, all will happen as you want it, provided you really want it. And so journal entry 795C says, what is it to really want something? When one is falling in love, one really wants the person of his or her affection. One wants to be with that person all of the time. When one cannot be with that person, one is thinking about him or her. I can use this example as a symbol to gauge my desire for awakening. Am I in love with this purpose so that I want more than anything to sit in meditation and contemplation with it? When I have to be away doing other things, am I thinking of my purpose? Am I looking forward to the time when I can be fully immersed with it again? And I can honestly say now that the answer is yes. And in fact, that's why I opened with the song that I did, You Take My Breath Away. That song was describing the falling in love that I am going through now with it doesn't sound very romantic, but with the purpose that I have decided upon, which is what we call Manonasa. You know, I want to know from my own experience what Manonasa is. I know no other way to know that. And this desire, this purpose itself is what I'm falling in love with, I guess. And if you saw me sitting here looking at my calendar, where can I add more days for personal retreat? And it's stuff like, oh, no, we have a family vacation that week. I won't be able to shoot. You know, like, shoot. Okay, so if I can't do it that week, when can I? You know, and it is almost like planning. It is like planning time with a lover. You know, some of you might remember when you were a teenager and you had a crush on somebody. And you really wanted to stay home and be able to be around that somebody instead of going on family vacation. Like, family vacation was taking you away from the one you wanted to be with. The mom and dad are like, no, you got to go with us. It's kind of like that. You know, and there are things I have to do, and I accept that. You know, I have work as the president minister of Awakening Together. I have a family that I do have to spend time with, you know, and I have bills to pay and household chores. I mean, I accept all of that. But what I am really trying to do is find as much time as I can to be in increased devotion. I'm going to use the words that Kathy has put on the board. Completely focused without anything else being there except for eating, showering, and walking Jamie. And sleeping, of course. I sleep. So I would say that I am falling in love. And again, that's exactly why I played that song, You Take My Breath Away. Right? But I wasn't falling in love up until recently. Up until recently, there was a desire that was here that I became distracted by work. And that's an honest statement. And now I am in love. And so work doesn't have as strong a pull on me. I mean, I'm willing to do what I have to do. But I want to be with my love. And I'll do that as much as possible. So again, the journal entry says, what is it to really want something? When one is falling in love, one really wants the person of his or her affection. One wants to be with that person all of the time. When one cannot be with that person, one is thinking about him or her. I can use this example as a symbol to gauge my desire for awakening. Am I in love with this purpose so that I want more than anything to sit in meditation and contemplation with it? When I have to be away doing other things, am I thinking of my purpose? Am I looking forward to the time when I can be fully immersed with it again? And like I said, now, the answer is yes. So moving on to 795D, again, the quote is, all will happen as you want it, provided you really want it. So again, I want to point out that this journal entry was written in September of 2015. The question is, what desires distract me from full devotion to the desire to awaken? So I was noticing then that I did not have that full devotion. And this is what was distracting me that day. And this is really funny. And I'll tell you why in a moment. But I find that thoughts of the future distract me. For example, in 4 to 5 months, I will get a new space in my house as my office. My office has always been an open space in my house, but in 4 to 5 months, I will be in a private room with a door. My mind drifts off into thinking what furniture I will put in my office and how I will arrange that furniture. That thinking is a distraction from true desire because my love is here now. When I think of the future, it is as if I am sitting on the sofa with the one I desire most, but then I get up from the sofa and run off to chase after imaginary playmates who are not really there. When my mind drifts to the future, I will think of this image and then return to the present to settle in gratefully with my very present love. And here we are, you know, 2 years and a couple months later, and I'm finally doing that. The reason this is funny, it just shows the tricks of the mind, or at least one of the tricks of the mind. Danielle was living here, and Danielle was living in this bedroom. where now I sit. This is now my office. And as I was already having the desire for personal retreats. In fact, this is September of 2015. I probably started having that desire, you know, about six months earlier, roughly. So I was having the desire for personal retreats. But as it explains, even in my own house, I didn't have a personal space. You know, Danielle was here, and Shiloh was here, and Ron was here, and sometimes Jasmine was here, and Jamie was here, and my space was right out there in the open in the middle of the house, and people walked by, and dogs walked by, and, you know, I went out and bought this screen, and I told people, when the screen is up, please ignore me. And they did. But I could still, you know, they were still just right there on the other side of the screen. And I don't know, especially at that point, because I was just beginning to meditate, I really felt that I needed seclusion. And there was no seclusion, no space for seclusion for me. So when I found out that Danielle was going to be moving out and building her own house, I got excited. Because I thought, oh, good, I'll have that space. Then, once she moves out, I'll be able to go in there, I'll be able to close my door, and I'll be able to have my seclusion. But then what the mind did with that is instead of just saying, okay, great, and then getting back to now, this moment, doing the best that I can in this moment with my screen, all the mind could think about was furniture. I wasted hours and hours on the internet, looking at furniture, looking at desks. You know, on weekends, I would drive up to Denver and look at furniture stores. Drive up, I mean, hours and hours and hours of looking at furniture. That's wasted time. And what's funny about it is, supposedly, the purpose of getting the office was so that I could have a space for seclusion. But instead, it resulted in all of this wasted time daydreaming about the office. And then, even after I got the office, as you know, since I'm just now really starting the seclusion, I didn't use it for that. I used it for increased work. And so because I used the office for increased work instead of seclusion, I started having another fantasy, which you guys may know a little bit about, but now you'll get the rest of the story, about buying a little house in La Vida. And this is before I even, you know, before we even got to the point where we were talking about putting our retreat center in La Vida, right? I've been in love with La Vida. I was already in love with La Vida on a personal level. And I just wanted to go down there and buy a little house, so that a couple days a month, I could go down to La Vida, get away from my work, get away from everyone, and be in my seclusion. I had to get away from work. And I cannot tell you how many hundreds of hours I have spent over the last couple of years looking at little houses in La Vida and thinking about how in the world can I afford to buy another little house, a place that I can go so that I can have seclusion. You know, so once the office was done and I wasn't daydreaming about the office, I was daydreaming about a little house in La Vida. And some friends, a couple other friends who kind of jumped on this bandwagon and wanted to move to La Vida too, may know that I got angry. And one reason I got angry is that's where I was going to get away from you guys. I didn't want you coming with me. You know, that was my escape from my work, escape from all of the people who, pardon me, I'm just sharing the ego's point of view here and being honest, who make demands on my time. This is the ego, and keep me away from where I really wanted to be. But that's the ego. Whenever you blame, it's the ego. So please do not take it personally. I'm just sharing how the mind thinks, how the mind has kept me away from doing this, even though I've wanted to for 2.5 years, how the mind has kept me away from doing it for 2.5 years. It wasted time daydreaming about getting the right place, whether it be an office or a little house in La Vida, so that I could finally do it. And meanwhile, while I'm doing all of the daydreaming, I'm not doing it. That's the mind. Do you guys recognize that? Have you had the same mind, maybe? So what shifted? Yeah, I would think everybody does it. I would imagine I'm not alone in that. So what has shifted is that now I'm just doing it. And it's kind of funny how this came about. I mean, you know, part of the story, if you were at the member meeting last week, you know how I was affected recently by Bentinho. And so a part of my increased desire has come from just observing Bentinho and then realizing I was observing him, thinking he should be doing more than he is. And I thought, wow, maybe I should be doing more than I am, right? But it actually started before that, because I did my first personal retreat for a couple of days in November, even before this stuff came out with Bentinho. So it started because I found a house in La Vida. And I was going to make an offer on the house in La Vida. It's a little house, 600 square feet, you know, a little tiny house. And I told Ron, my boyfriend, about it. And I told him that I wanted to get this little house. And the funny thing was, Ron always listens to me. And I said something like, Ron, I want to make an offer on a little house in La Vida. And he said, no. And now for some people, that may be the way their spouse or significant other just is. And so, you know, but Ron's not like that. And so when he threw out such a firm no, it made me wonder, you know, well, I didn't really need to wonder. It made me notice, this is just my mind wanting to do this. You know, if God, if the universe wanted me to do this, Ron would have said yes, because I know Ron. He would have said yes. He said no. So when I realized that the universe did not want me to buy a house in La Vida, that this was just my mind delaying the decision to start taking seclusion retreats, that's when I said, okay, I can do it here. I can do it here. I just have to have the willpower to stay away from work. In addition to that, right around that same time is also when I went to New Mexico for a three-day retreat. Some of the people here were there. Ann was there. Jay was there. There were some others that you know there. Carrie was there. Jacqueline was there. And I really had a fruitful experience there. And again, there was no work, no emails, no text, just fully focused on truth for 3 days. So that also really inspired me. So in a way, all of this has kind of come together. You know, the 3-day retreat in New Mexico, the Ron saying no to the house in La Vida, which just kind of killed that 2-year fantasy. and then most recently this thing with Bentinho, all of this has just come together where I'm just like, you know, a fire is lit in me bigger than the fire has been lit in me before. And yeah, I see Jay is right now. That is a personal retreat house, 600 square feet. Yeah, I didn't want another house that I had, you know, to clean. And I mean, I already have a house I have to clean and take care of. I wanted a house that was so small that I could clean it in 20 minutes and really spend all of my time in contemplation. I didn't want another house. I wanted a hideaway with a toilet and a bed and a small kitchen. And far enough away, and I had no intention of getting internet or anything. But yeah, now I've created the hideaway in place. You're right. That's what I have done. And I have talked to my family, and I have their support. In fact, I talked to Ron and told him that I was going to be on a 3-day retreat this week. And then he actually talked to Jasmine before I did. And he said, you know, if you need anything, call me, because Mama's going to be in silence for 3 days. And I thought, how sweet is that? You know, he didn't say Mama's being all weird and wants to take, you know, 3 days alone. He said, Mama's going to be in silence for 3 days. Like, and see, that's so opposite the no to the house in La Vida, right? And he knows, my family knows, I'm going to be doing this quite frequently. So, here I am. Here I am, and I'm working out the final schedule in my calendar now. It should be done about an hour after I finish 7 steps, and then I'll communicate that in full to Jacqueline and Ken and Ron and Jasmine and Danielle. And Mom, I guess my mom. Those are probably the only people who really need to know the schedule. Everybody else will just get by without me. And I do put on the out-of-office email when I am on retreat. So if you try emailing me, you'll know. Yeah. So back to what we're talking about. All will happen as you want it, provided you really want it. Nisargadatta Maharaj. And then again, the journal entry was me looking at, in September, what was in my way, since I already was wanting these personal retreats. And as this long story just told, I was daydreaming about the furniture that I would get in my new office and spending hours looking at furniture. And I did get some nice furniture out of it. I do like my desk and my sofa, but still, these decisions could have been made with one trip to the local store, because that's where I found both of them. One trip to the local store when it was time, and I would have found this sofa and this desk. I did not need to spend all of those hours on the internet, nor did I need to go to Denver or Colorado Springs. I got both of these pieces of furniture right here in Pueblo at the nearest furniture store. The mind is a trickster. Do not believe it. So that's 795D. Now, there is also a 795E. It says, is there anything else I need to look at before leaving this contemplation? And that meant before leaving the contemplation of this quote, all will happen as you want it, provided you really want it. Is there anything else I need to look at before leaving this contemplation? There is this person, Regina, and her desire to project an image. Her desire to project an image needs to be watched very carefully. The image she chooses to project is a good one. And so without careful watching, this image projection can be missed under the guise of approval. If I pay careful attention, I can recognize this desire to project an image. Its characteristics are subtle, but detectable. There is the thought of others and how they view me, inherent in image projection. I will watch for the subtle energy of image production, and when it is detected, I will bring myself back to present intuition. So the two strongest image projection ideas that have been an obstacle for me in the last couple of years are responsible and wanting you to know that I care about you. Those have been my obstacles. So responsible, you know, staying on top of things with Awakening Together, getting all of the work done in a timely way, you know, and then wanting you to know that I care about you, you know, answering all of the emails that you send me, you know, and serving you in whatever way you ask me to serve you. And to be absolutely honest, if I continue to be that responsible, and I care, but that wanting you to know that I care, you know, through activity, I'm not going to take my personal days. Because busyness will continue to take over my life. I don't know that I will do this, but one thought that even crossed my mind recently, and I'll wait until I know whether I should do it or not, but was to go ahead and end the Ask Regina Facebook page and end the Regina Dawn Akers Facebook page, which I hardly ever touch anyway. And probably, letting people know if you have a question for me, what you need to do is be a member of Gentle Healing and ask your question during Gentle Healing. This is when I'm available. I'm available during this 45-minute slot at the beginning of Gentle Healing. But other than that, I have other things to do. And I apologize for that. And I don't know what I will do. But I do know that I can't continue to try and please everyone and take this time that I need to take. So what I will be looking at with intuition very carefully is what really is my role, because I do have a role to play, and where am I to stop being involved? And like I said, the hard part in that is me, it is the image projection, because it's me wanting you to know I care. It's not, I know I care. I know I care. I can leave you on your own and still care about you, right? I don't have to carry you around with me. But there's this fear that if I don't carry you around with me, you won't know that I care. And that's coming from the mind. So that's one of the things that I will be looking at and learning what the balance needs to be, and I'll be doing it with intuition. But what I'm doing first is getting these days in my calendar with these retreats. I already have the time in my calendar for the 2.5 hours per day. But for the retreats, I had some time that I just put in every other week. But when I went looking at my calendar earlier today, I learned that every other week doesn't exactly work, because it does hit up on some weeks when I can't do it. So now I'm going through the calendar week by week and saying, when can I do this? When can I do this? And putting it in there. But I'm putting these days in first, and the rest of life is going to have to work its way around them. And I probably will, I know I will not have time for as many things as I have been doing, which means I'm going to have to figure out which things are not mine to do. And again, nobody knows all of the requests that I get, all of the emails that I get. Only I know that. Everybody else just says, oh, well, I only ask for something every now and then. But it's a lot of people. And sometimes people even ask me for things that really they could have done on their own. I'll get emails. Can you tell me where, this audio is? And so then I have to go look for the audio and email them back and say, this is where it is. Those types of things I probably, I won't do anymore. I may do what I've known other people to do, and I used to think it was rude, but maybe now I'm starting to understand where it comes from. I may start just not answering some emails, just not responding at all, reading it, seeing it's not mine to respond to, and delete it. I've all along the spiritual path, I've known of teachers who do that, who just don't respond to emails, and I always thought that is so rude. They could at least respond, but now I understand that it not necessarily, because this can suck up your entire life and not give you what you really need to be doing if you are going to go to the end of the spiritual path, Manonasa, mind death, total awakening, beyond the real world to heaven. That's my job. And so that's what I'm dedicating myself to, really starting now. And I would love it if you all did it with me. And then you all would be so busy in your own seclusion that you wouldn't even notice that I was in seclusion because, you know, you're in the same place. We can all lovingly ignore each other. Wouldn't that be great? So, going back to the journal entry, is there anything else I need to look at before leaving this contemplation? Again, the contemplation is all will happen as you want it, provided you really want it. And there was something else I needed to look at. It says there is this person, Regina, and her desire to project an image. Her desire to project an image needs to be watched very carefully. The image she chooses to project is a good one. Remember, we said it's responsible, being responsible, and showing I care about you, right? The image she chooses to project is a good one. And so without careful watching, this image projection can be missed under the guise of approval. If I pay careful attention, I can recognize this desire to project an image. Its characteristics are subtle but detectable. And here's the hint. Here's how you know if you're projecting an image. There is the thought of others and how they view me inherent in image projection. So if I'm doing a task because I'm concerned how someone will view me if I don't, really all I'm trying to do is project an image. And that's another one of these ego tricks. Because it uses up time in a way other than spiritual practice. I'm too busy trying to project this positive image. I will watch for the subtle energy of image projection. And when it is detected, I will bring myself back to present intuition. And again, I wrote this on September 29th, 2015. And I'm just now actually doing it. I've seen this pattern throughout my spiritual path. I mean, I remember some of you guys may be listening to the Holy Spirit Guides audios now. Ken plays those Holy Spirit Guides audios on some Sunday evenings right after Seven Steps. And they're recorded in the first 5 years of my spiritual path. So they really talk about the types of things I was going through then. And they can be very helpful. But I remember when I was teaching Holy Spirit Guides, what I was doing was reading messages that I had received from within, which I called Holy Spirit. And the messages, again, just like I'm reading from my journal that I wrote 2 years ago, the same kind of thing was happening with Holy Spirit Guides. I was reading and teaching from messages that I actually received like 2 years ago. And I remember saying a number of times while I was teaching Holy Spirit Guides, I'd say, you know, I received this message 2 years ago, and I'm just now getting around to doing that. So apparently my intuition is prompting me long before my mind allows me to fully accept it. 2 years seems to be my pattern. Oh, yeah, and Ken says that tonight after I finish, he'll be playing Detaching from Relationships from June 2007. Ooh, that's going to be a good one. I think I know what that one's about. I'm going to hang around and listen to that one. I think, we'll find out, I think that's when I started getting the guidance to let go of Ron and join with Laurent. And that was a very difficult time. Maybe that's what it's about. I think that was around the time, so we'll find out, I guess. So, again, watch that image projection. It's just an ego trick, even if it's a positive image. There's a 795F. So I must have spent a lot of time this day with 795. Again, 795, all will happen as you want it, provided you really want it. Here's 795F. Because I can trust the world and the mysterious force behind it to answer the call of my desire, I commit to lovingly consolidating all of my power to desire behind one true desire now. May the force of the universe assist me in this commitment. And again, I'm sure that I really meant that when I wrote it. I wasn't just writing. You know, when I'm in contemplation, the heart is wide open. And I was writing what I meant in that moment. It's taken me about 2 years to finally pick up that baggage and take this trip. But that's all right. We're here. Hallelujah. And that's the end of 795. So let me read. Well, there's only one journal entry for 796. So let me go ahead and read quote 796 to you, and we'll look at that journal entry. 796. Want the best, the highest happiness, the greatest freedom. That's quote 796. Want the best. I don't think he's talking about the best furniture for your office. What do you guys think? Want the best, the highest happiness, the greatest freedom. All right, let's look and see what my journal entry says. Now, this is from October 2, 2015. That's Danielle's birthday, by the way. If I want something too specific, that wanting is coming from ego. Ego imagines and desires specifics. This includes wanting awakening or enlightenment. When one has very specific ideas about what that means, like the ability to heal the sick, raise the dead, and manifest material objects or circumstances, those ideas of awakening or enlightenment are ego-driven. There is a general desire for truth, love, beauty, and goodness, which is not specific and not selfish. The general desire feels genuine, like a calling of the heart. The specifics can be left to the unfolding of the universe. So, I have known for some time that we cannot imagine what full enlightenment or manonasa is like. I've known that to be true. And therefore, I have quit trying to imagine it. It seems like anything that I could imagine would just be based on my current perception, which is not enlightened. Recently, I've been reading a book, part of a book. I'm actually not reading the whole book. I'm only reading the parts like my intuition is guiding me to. I think there are parts of it I don't need to read, at least at this point. But I'm reading certain parts of the book, and I'm rereading certain parts of the book. It's a book called What is Self? By Bernadette Roberts. And Bernadette Roberts talks about some, I'll just call them high experiences of awakening, possibly manonasa, but I won't make that judgment myself, but beyond what I hear most teachers today talking about. And she repeatedly emphasizes what Michael also emphasizes, that there is just no frame of reference that the unenlightened have, the unawake have, to understand what this awake experience is like. No frame of reference, that there is nothing that she could tell us that would cause us to understand. And she can use words like love and bliss and all these kinds of things. And she says, but it's just nothing at all like what we think of as love, bliss, In fact, she says something like our experiences of love and bliss and joy are like an ant compared to the elephant of this awakened experience. And she just says, it's just so different. And in fact, I was reading a quote in the Seven Steps to Awakening during my 3-day retreat. Let me see if I can find it. It was a pretty good quote. It was from Step 5. Here it is. Quote 1167. The man of self-knowledge is awake to that which is non-existent to the ignorant. That which is real to the ignorant is non-existent to the enlightened. Think about that. And this is what Bernadette is saying as well, and this is what Michael says too. The man of self-knowledge is awake to that which is non-existent to the ignorant. And that which is real to the ignorant is non-existent to the enlightened. Now the quote actually says that which is real to the latter. But I just wanted to be very clear that the latter was the ignorant there. Didn't want that to get lost in translation. So whenever we think we're being enlightened because we want to gain something very specific, that's all just coming from the ego and the ego's, you know, desire to be a better person or to have a better experience or to have a better image to project out there or whatever, depending on what we're desiring. For me, it's very difficult to describe what's driving me. And the only reason I say it's very difficult, I think I'm very clear. But when I only have 1 minute. But when I mention it to some people, they always misunderstand me. So I think I must not be very clear. But what's driving me is the desire to know truth for myself, period. Whatever it is. Not to know a specific thing for myself. Just truth. That's what started me on this path, was the desire for truth. And that is what still motivates me. That is my motivation. Very, very open, because truth can be whatever it is. It doesn't have to meet my ideas of what it should be. But I just want to know it, and I can't know it unless I be it. It's the only way to know it, is to be it. You don't know a thing that you observe. You only know a thing that you are, fully. So, with that said, time to let go of the mic. Bye.